Timothy chapter 4. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Got plenty of time this morning. Praise God. You got your watches set to preacher standard time, and we're fine. Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
We know we had somebody before come in, and he said, you don't have no clock in the church. You don't have no clock on the back wall. And they said, and of course they commended us. They said, that's good. That's fine. And then of course we've had some that have got messed up or felt like they got messed up, but they didn't know what time it was. But you know, it's the Lord's time, ain't it? Amen.
Amen.
And we ought to just be thankful for that. I do get nervous sometimes and get in a new pulpit I hadn't ever been in, and they don't get you in the pulpit till about 10 till 12, because I know Baptists. Amen. I know that's rough, but I remember a couple different times I was at one church and said, you know, just preach like your coattails on fire and don't worry about the time, and amen, we'll just have a good time in the Lord. And so I think we got out before 1 o'clock that service, but anyhow.
We ain't got out before 1 o'clock all weekend. Don't start now.
Amen. And Johnny's ready to go. Amen. We've had long services and meetings and everything, so you know we can handle it. I don't know if everybody can handle it, but we can handle it today. Everyone stand if you would. Read the scripture. Familiar passage of scripture in the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning verse 1. The Bible says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Preach the Word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have kept the faith, I have fought a good fight. Excuse me. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only. That's us right here. Not to me only, but unto all those, or all them also, that love His appearing. Amen. Let's go, Lord, in a word of prayer. Ask God's blessing on this part of the service. Dear Father, thank You, Lord, for Your Word. Thank You for this time You've given us. Lord, thank You for the singing this morning. God, how You've touched our heart. God, I pray, Lord, that we'd be sensitive to the Word of God. Lord, this morning, Lord, I pray You'd meet with us. Lord, I praise You, Lord, for opportunity just to be in Your house and serve You and live for You. God, I pray You'd bless and help us, Lord, to draw close to You, do what You'd have us to do. God, go forward for Your cause and souls might be saved. All that's done, we'll thank You. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. 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 You may be seated. Amen. Here in this passage of Scripture, amen, there's a lot in here, and I'm really going to use this as what we like to call a springboard text. And I've got really one thought we're going to kind of draw out of the passage here and preach a message I believe the Lord's laid on our heart. But there's a lot in here, amen. There's a lot you could preach on here in this last passage, and I preached probably several messages from this passage of Scripture, and you've heard a lot of preach from this passage of Scripture, and Brother Herman probably preached many messages from this passage of Scripture, one of his favorite passages here in the latter part, the exhortation, praise God, to preach the Word of God is given here in verse 2. Just really some closing statements. I wonder what we would say, you know, that we would have to pass on to somebody in the last days of our life. What would we have to pass on and give to somebody? Well, we don't know. But here's what Paul did. Here's what Paul gave Timothy. The last charge that he gave him, he told him to preach the Word. The last charge that he gave him, he warned him that there'd be times that they're not going to listen to the Word. The last charge that he gave him, he told him that he was ready. And so that, of course, admonished Timothy to also be ready. He said, I'm ready. He said, I have fought a good fight. And so that would admonish Timothy to fight a good fight. He said, I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And he said, there's laid up a crown of righteousness for me. Amen. What a blessing. What a blessing. What an encouragement. What a thought to think about. Praise God. We've got something to do for Jesus Christ. We're not just called to come inside of these four walls and just be here for service two or three times a week. And that's all. Really, we're called as Christians to serve the Lord. God's left us something to do. God's given us something to do. Praise His name. And so Paul says, hey, preach the word. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Somebody said it. Sometimes preaching ain't in season, but you got to preach anyhow. Yeah, amen. Amen. Amen? Why don't you look at what he said, how he starts this off, though, and maybe I'll get a thought from this and get headed in the right direction this morning. Notice the first verse said, he said, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom. I don't know if there's any other place in the Word of God that Paul chose to put so much on this last charge, put so much on this last admonishment to someone. I mean, he says, I charge thee. Notice what, I charge thee before God. And of course, Paul, okay, you're always doing that. But he said, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He just didn't leave nothing out, did he? Gave the name of the Lord. And I don't know why anybody would want to leave the Christ out of his own Bible. Maybe we won't get into that this morning, but a lot of the new versions, they take out the Lord, they take out Jesus, they take out Christ, they take out Lord Jesus Christ. But here in the Word of God that's preserved for us today, it says before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge. He said, you're going to stand before the Lord as a judge one of these days. You're going to give an account. Remember he said over there in Corinthians, he said that we'll give an account of the things done in this body, whether they be good or bad. We're all going to stand. We're all judgment-bound people. We'll stand before the Lord one of these days. If you lost, you don't know Christ your Savior, you continue to reject Christ and you die in your sins, you'll stand at the great white throne judgment and He'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. If you're saved, you'll stand before Jesus Christ in what we call the Bema seat. The word Bema comes from the Greek word, and it talks about a judging place. Actually, it was used the same place they used to judge the athletes in Rome and everything when they would do the races and things and the sporting events. And they said, you're going to be judged one of these days before the Lord. So we're all judgment-bound people. So he encourages them. You know, whatever you do, hey, you ought to do it for the glory of God. Whatever you do, you ought to do it for Christ. And whatever you do, I think you ought to be serious about it.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. This is a serious charge. This is something serious that Paul was going to pass on to Timothy, and Paul has passed on to you today. Well, I want to use a phrase that I've heard before, and I don't even know what people mean much when they say it sometimes, and I ain't going way out on a limb on this, okay? But I've heard teenagers say this, and maybe I'm kind of old too. I don't know. Maybe this is maybe they don't even say this no more. But maybe some of you that grew up a little bit, maybe you can relate to it. But I've heard people say this before. You know, somebody say something or do something, and they kind of question it a little bit, and they'll say, "Get real." You ever heard somebody say that? You ever heard it's mostly teenage girls, I think. Where's we got a teenager? Jasmine, is that what we say? Do you say that a lot? You know, get real. You know, somebody says that. And like I say, I don't know exactly what all they're meaning by that. But you know, I thought about that for the Christian today. I thought about that for the lost person today. Now, it might be that they don't get a hold of it and they don't do it and they don't get serious, but I think they ought to. I think you ought to. I think I need to today. I think I ought to get real.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. I mean, this is a real thing. We don't just come in here to play church. I mean, if you do, you ain't right with God.
Amen.
We don't just come in here to say we've had a service and hey, we'll mark that off the list and hopefully you don't go through your prayer life that and your Bible study and just say, you know, I've done it. I've accomplished it. There we go. Check it off.
Amen.
No. We ought to be serious about this thing. It ought to be real in our life. And if it ain't, get real.
Amen.
Amen. I mean, Paul gives an admonishment. You say, preach, that really is a springboard text. Okay. If you don't know what that is, you know, the preacher finds something and really he don't preach on the whole text there and expound it. He just bounces off of it, and I don't guess he ever gets back. But anyhow, I just thought about how that Paul starts that off. I mean, to me, I was thinking, man, I mean, Paul, Timothy's probably saying as he's reading this, he said, boy, I better read very careful the next few verses here. Amen. After he read verse 1, I'm sure, Bud Johnny, he said, I'm really going to have to pay attention now. Oh, Lord God, he says, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, I charge thee. Hey, you're going to stand before the Lord one of these days. He said, hey, Timothy, get real. Hey, Timothy, get serious about this thing. There's something serious. There's something real about this, praise God. I shared with the here at the church the last, back on the, well, it wasn't last time we spoke. We preached on Wednesday night, but Wednesday afternoon we had a funeral. My great aunt here and had here at the church, and I was privileged to help in that. But you know, I thought about how that sometimes she was very quick to, maybe not very quick to judge people or whatever, but very quick to really examine things and really look at things. And you know, she really didn't like a phony. She really didn't like a fake. You know, she was really, and I said that, man, I mean, really, a lot of the people in the family that knew her really connected with that, and they shook their head. Yeah, you're right. I mean, she just didn't like a phony. She didn't like a fake. She wanted people to get real.
Amen.
And I think the Lord does too. I think the Lord wants us to be serious about this thing and know that there's something real. Praise God, we serve a real Savior. We serve a real Lord. We're going to a real heaven. There is a real devil. There is a real hell. This is a real Bible. There's a real message that God's trying to give us. Praise God. Get real. Get serious. Say, preacher, I thought I was serious. Well, praise God. Just, amen, just kick it up a notch. I don't know. Or just praise God. Amen. I tell you what, if it's real, I'm sure there's a few times that really, if we'd get real with the Lord, it'd be a little more louder here in this congregation.
Amen.
We'd say a few more amens. We'd say a few more. And I know you're sitting there sometimes and it's bottled up on the inside. And I mean, you know, you're just fixing to, hey, I mean, you're about to do that. Amen. But, you know, we hold it down. You know, we're doing this and, you know. But praise God. It's real. It's all right. Amen. Have some liberty in the Lord. It's real. Where the Spirit of the Lord is liberty. Praise God. You can say amen.
Amen.
Praise His name. Get real. Get serious. Let me give you a few thoughts about you. You say, preacher, well, you want me to get serious? But okay, well, I'm glad you asked. But maybe I could put a whole bunch of things here, I know, but the Lord just touched on my heart about a few things, and I want to share it with you this morning. First of all, be serious about salvation. Amen. Be serious about salvation. Listen, I mean, if you're not saved this morning, hey, listen, the Scripture tells us, I mean, there's over and over again, we've got Scripture after Scripture. From Genesis to Revelation, you can see Jesus Christ calling out to you. From the garden, I mean the garden where man sinned, the Bible tells us that God went out in the cool of the day and said, where art thou? Where art thou? And God calls out, and He's still calling today. He closes the book in Revelation and says, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him that thirst come. Whosoever will, drink of the water of life freely. There's a plea for us to be serious about this thing. You say, hey, listen, and I shared this with my family, and I've talked about it before to some of them individually and one-on-one, but buddy, I got up behind the pulpit Wednesday afternoon, and I said it in front of those that were here anyhow. I said, you might say, when we talk to you, and I say, you know, what about your salvation? Are you sure about your salvation? You might say, oh, you know, don't worry about me. You know, I'm your great aunt, I'm your grandma, I'm your mother, or whatever. You know, don't ask me that question. You know, don't do that. But you know, it's a serious question. Because if you're not saved, you're going to die and go to hell. And I don't care whose mother it is, whose grandma it is, whose aunt it is. They might be the best person in the world. They may be a good moral person, but that's not going to get them to heaven. Like I said a while ago, That old prodigal son, he was in filled with unrighteousness, but his elder brother didn't leave the house. He was filled with self-righteousness, and both of them was wrong.
Amen.
What they needed to do was put their faith in Christ and trust the Lord, and that's what you need to do. If you're not saved this morning, I trust when the invitation's given, you'll just come forward and you'll make things right with God. Listen to what the Scripture says. Be serious about John chapter 8 and verse 24. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. Lord says if you don't believe that I am, if you don't believe I'm He, you're going to die in your sins. The Scripture says in Romans chapter 1 verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. Maybe I didn't finish that thought a while ago, but you know, I believe a person saved, that they're not going to be ashamed of it.
Amen.
Amen. If Jesus changed your life, if you're on your way to heaven, if the Holy Spirit of God's living on the inside, you can use every excuse you want to. You can say, I don't go to church, I don't do this, I don't do that. None of that matters. Is He inside?
Amen.
Are you saved? Have you not? And when God knocked at your heart one day and convicted you of your sin, did you say yes or no? And if you said yes, hallelujah, you're not going to be ashamed of it. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen.
Yes.
Whosoever believeth shall not be ashamed.
Amen.
Romans 10:11. Let me give you this. Romans chapter 1 verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The Bible tells us there, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed because it's changed my life.
Amen.
I'm not ashamed because it's the power of God and it's changed me and transformed me. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. I've got something to shout about. Paul said, hey, get real about salvation. Get real about salvation. Get serious about salvation. Not only that, but second of all, you can say, preacher, I hope you don't go off to no more conferences. I hope you don't go off to no more meetings. Just sit at home. I tell you what, get somebody to meet you. It charges your battery, don't it, Brother Johnny? Amen. Charges your battery. Hey, and that's what revival does for us too. And getting in some meetings here around the house of God. My battery's been charged all month long, praise God. We had a revival meeting. We went off that conference. We had missionaries in this. Amen. We ought to come in here and shout that missionary down tonight. Amen. You say, what's wrong with these people? Amen. Well, tell them there's something right with us. Praise God.
Amen.
But second of all, let me say, well, we ought to be serious about soul winning.
Yeah. Yeah.
We ought to be serious about soul winning.
Amen.
Amen. Get real. I mean, just as much as I say, you say, well, and I know it might slow down here just a little bit, but I tell you what, just as much as we can be serious about our salvation, how much more will we be serious about others? In fact, let me just back up in Romans chapter 1. I read you verse 16 and 17, I think it was. Is that right? Well, back up to verse 14 and 15, and what does he say in Romans chapter 1? For I am debtor both to the Greeks and the barbarians, both to the wise and unwise, so as much as in me, I am ready to preach the gospel unto you which are at Rome also. Before he said, thank God for my salvation, thank God I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God and salvation. Before he said that, he said, I don't need to forget that I'm in debt to those around me. I'm in debt to those that are around me. I have the message. I have the cure, praise God.
Amen.
Wouldn't it be something somebody had a cure for something that's killing something, that's continually killing folks? If somebody had a cure for cancer and they wouldn't share it?
Amen.
They wouldn't let nobody know about it? And you say, oh, that's awful. That's awful. People are dying.
Amen.
Yes, but it's more awful that, the Bible said fear those that destroy the body and soul, but those that destroy the soul. Listen, one of these days, we're going to live forever somewhere. We leave this life, we're going to spend eternity in heaven or hell. And say, preacher, I just don't like him preachers that are just point blank, and I don't like that. You know, well, that's the way Jesus was. That's the way John the Baptist was. That's the way Paul the Apostle was, and that's the way this book is.
Amen.
There's no gray issues. Oh, we say, oh, today we got these gray issues. Today we got, you can't be just so single-minded. Don't you understand? We're so diverse today. Well, You know, Bible said in the last day, what did he say here in this chapter 4? In the last days, Scott, that perilous times shall come. And that people would turn a deaf ear. They would believe a fable. They would believe a lie instead of believing the truth. Truth's what's going to make you free. Amen. Listen, we need to be serious about soul winning. We need to be serious about it. The Scripture says in Psalms 126 and verse 5, He said, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth in weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." You've made testimony to it. Folks all through our church have made testimony to what a joy it is to see you do something, to plant a seed in somebody else's life, see somebody else get saved. There's nothing any greater than you yourself being saved. There's nothing any greater than that. But the only thing that comes close is when you lead somebody else to the Lord. The only thing that comes close when you see somebody else and their life's changed and they accept the Lord. They believe what the gospel said because you've done something. You planted the seed. You watered that seed. Yeah, it ain't you. It's God. God gives the increase. But praise God, you've just done your part. You've got serious. You've got real. Get real about soul winning. Get real about soul winning. Let me give you this passage of Scripture. We don't like to read verses like this, but it's not even found just once in the Bible. It's found three or four different times. I'm going to give you one verse here. But in Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 8 says, "When I say," this is the Lord, He said, "When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die." We read that a while ago, didn't we? That's what Jesus said too. He said, if you don't believe that I'm He, you'll die in your sins. So He says, "I say to the wicked, you'll die. O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. And if thou doest," that's us, if you don't get real about it, if you don't get serious about it, if thou doest not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, and his blood will I require at thy hand. Amen. Yeah. I can give testimony myself to folks that I know without a shadow of a doubt the Holy Ghost of God pricked my heart to go talk to them about salvation. And they died before I could go talk to them again. No doubt their blood will be upon my hands. You say that, well, you know, somehow they could have heard and maybe they wouldn't have got saved if you went. I know that. But God only knows. I know what God did in my heart. I remember as a young boy one time. In fact, we started a revival meeting. And on Monday night, God pricked my heart about going and talking to somebody about the Lord. And I mean, I was a young boy. I didn't have my driver's license. I wasn't going to steal a car and try to go see him. But I thought, I'll ask my dad and mom to take me. We left revival services. Brother Tom, I wanted to tell them that night, let's go over there tonight. They died the next day. And it's a serious business. I mean, there's folks dying and going to hell. I was looking through some a couple of them websites, and one I was looking for some tracks that I was wanting to order, but anyhow, I went this one that was saying people are dying every 2 seconds, and had a thing, just as soon as you logged on that website, it started counting down. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. As long as you was on there, if you go back to that homepage, it was still counting how many people died while you was on that website. I mean, it was a good one, praise God. Dial the Truth Ministry is what it is. But what a sobering thought to think. And not listen, regardless of what they say or regardless if they're a good person or whatever, go back to the first point. If they're not saved, if they didn't get serious about salvation, they're going to hell. How sad that is. But I want to tell you something. How sad it is when we have the truth and we hold it to ourselves. When we have the truth and we don't, you say, "Preacher, I'll get nervous about it. I won't know what to say." The Bible already says the Holy Spirit will help you. The Bible already says let's hide the Word of God in our heart. The Bible already says that when you don't know what to say, you know, He'll give you what to say. And I tell you what, it's a miracle. I mean, it's a miracle of God, and God does that. I mean, it'll surprise you. I mean, it'll shock you. I mean, there's been times that, "Brother John, I didn't even know I knew that many verses." Man, I mean, God just give me some verses. I'd be quoting them, but I know I'd, I'd memorized them at some point. I'd read them at some point, and God brought them back to my memory when it was needed for somebody to get saved.
Amen.
Get serious about soul winning. Get real. And then there's a lot of the ministries, a lot of things we could talk about. You know, I think God has blessed our church tremendously. I've told you before, I had never been a part of a church that has so many things going on in outreach. I had never been a part of, I've been a part of, had a little bit of this and a little bit of that and maybe a couple things here. But I thank God, and things went smoothly and we was gone. I appreciate those that helped with the nursing home ministry. Always gone. Folks showed up over there on Thursday and folks showed up on Saturday. Hey, praise God for that, the nursing home ministry. Praise God for the Bible correspondence course we got. And I tell you what, if you hadn't went through some of them, we've got several ladies that have went through about all of them, praise God. And they're just continuing that and have read through their Bible this past year, and praise God for that. But I tell you what, they'd be a blessing and encouragement. Anything you can get, praise God, to get in this book, anything you can get to get in the Word of God and study, and praise God, that's what we need.
Yes,
say, get serious about a lot of things, couldn't I? Praise God for that. Praise God for a tape and a CD ministry. Brother Johnny's, Lord used him in a great way, and was sending out tapes and CDs to a whole bunch of folks that are not able to go to church, and hopefully they're passing them on to other people, and we have no idea how many people we're reaching like that. And we won't know till we get to heaven. We get around here, about every time he gets these bags ready, he'll put them up here, and we'll get around here and we'll pray over them, and we'll pray that God will bless that. That's serious business. That's serious business. Put tracks in there. Put the Word of God in there. Folks are handing out tracks. We have to keep filling up the track rack. If you see every once in a while this one's empty and that one's getting close to empty, well, you know, pray for me. I'm trying to keep up. But praise God, keep getting them. Amen.
Amen.
You know, keep requesting them. Say, well, load some more up in there. Praise God. Listen, you just go on. No, we was on the radio this morning at 8 o'clock. I don't know whose life it might have touched. I don't know if it was this Sunday, but maybe it was the Sunday before last. I made a statement. You know, thank God for those in our church here listening, but thank God for those too that aren't able to go to church and are hearing the message here. There might be somebody hearing that message that's lost. Many times we'll ask them, hey, or we'll say on the radio, listen, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, if you're not saved, you ought to get saved today. Today's the day of salvation.
Amen.
And amen, we can just go on and on. I think there's probably a couple things we need to put up in high gear. I'm not going to quit harping on it, and I'm not going to quit preaching on it. I'm going to get up on my soapbox every once in a while and say, hey, let's turn it up a notch over here. Let's turn it up a notch over there, because their soul's dying going to hell.
Yes,
our church needs to continue to have an outreach. I don't know what God has in store in going out and reaching them in a bus ministry. We got one van, and it seems to sit there up there on the hill now, and it'll sit there, it'll sit here, it'll sit over there, and we haven't really put it to use as we should. And I pray that in the days to come, in the months to come, we'll start getting serious about that.
Amen.
You say, preacher, I ain't able to go on bus visitation on Saturday. Well, pray.
Amen.
And if you ain't able to go, God will send somebody else. And it's not always, I tell you why, I was about to shout when somebody told about, and this, I mean, it wasn't even a, I forget what it was applying to now. Well, I think, yeah, it was the Reformers Unanimous class on Friday, and somebody was talking about promotion of it. That's what it was. They had promoted up there at one chapter up in Illinois, and they had handed out flyers, and they'd had this big blitz, you know, and they did it for several months, and they ended up passing out or contacting over, making over 800 and some contacts with these flyers. Was it flyers? I think it was. Posters, putting out posters. Yeah, that's what it was. Putting out posters at different locations, like stores and things like that. They put out posters. You know, we're having this addiction class at our church, you know, come and everything. 800 and some places. That's a lot. We ain't even got that many. We could put some here in Cherubim. I mean, this was like up somewhere in Illinois, near Chicago area. But anyhow, they 800 and some places. And then they started looking over the records. They didn't do that in just one or two days. They did it over a period of several months. 800 different new locations, these posters up. And they started trying to find out who marked. They had a place on there they could mark and say, yes, I came because of the poster. And it was a very small amount, wasn't it? Like 15 people. 15, only 15 people came because of that poster. And the brothers kind of got a little discouraged about that. He said, ain't that something? They didn't come. We did all this work. We put all the posters out. We did all that, you know, and they didn't come. But then he started looking also and looking at the records. But wait a minute. During those months, our new visitors for the first time to that class was way up, like tripled, you know. And said, I can't explain that. What's the deal there? You know, we did all this work. You know what? That ain't nothing but the grace of God. That ain't nothing but God. You put forth the effort, and it might not be exactly what you did that brings them in, because it really ain't you anyhow. It should be God.
That's right.
Amen. 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 Now, maybe I went way in a circle to get to that point, but what I'm talking about is I've seen us go knock on some doors, and those folks didn't come in, but because we were faithful to knock on those doors, somebody came in that we didn't even talk to. Now, I can't do that, and I tell you what, I believe God does that once in a while to let you know it ain't you anyhow.
Yeah,
you put forth the effort, you put forth the work, and it's not because of what you do, but it's because of what God does. And God says, hey, they've been faithful over here. Praise God, I'm going to bring somebody from over here.
Praise the Lord.
I'm going to send somebody else in. And it happens over and over and over again, as long as we're just faithful to be that outreach, to go out and reach them. Listen, let me give you this passage. Amen. Mark chapter 2. Let me give you a couple of verses here. I thought about this story here in Mark chapter 2. Let me read you just a couple of verses about it. It's about the man that was sick of palsy, the Bible says. And the crowd, you know, was so great in that house that when they got there with this man, they had to do what? They had to tear the roof off and lower him down in there to see Jesus. But the Bible says he was born of four. In other words, four men went and got this guy and took him to Jesus. It says, again, he entered into Capernaum. After some days, it was noised he was in the house. Straightway, many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and they had breaking it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lie. Jesus saw their faith, those that had brought him, saw their faith, and said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee.
Amen.
You say, what's the example there? That guy couldn't get there. He needed transportation. He needed somebody to go out and get him. He was born of four. That was a first bus ministry. Loaded him up on a cart and took him. They didn't have no wheels. They didn't have no engine. And they said, we're going to have four. The four wheels is going to be us four. One on each end. And we're going to bring him to Jesus. And they carried him right there to the Lord. That's what we do. I mean, that's what we should do. That's what we're doing when we talk to folks about the Lord and we bring folks to the house of God. And you know what? God will bless that effort, and God, there'll be some souls get saved. It's such a rewarding ministry. Sometimes I see young people that, and sometimes these little bring some kids in and they don't know how to behave in church because they ain't never been to church. I brought some folks before, and unto God, I saw one time in a church, I remember I sat on this side and I brought this couple different people in this family. I brought them to church. A couple young teenage. One was a teenage girl, and she had, and man, I always had tracts, you know, and I was passing out tracts, and I even gave them tracts before the service. They could sit there and read some tracts, you know. And I thought, get some seed in there, get some word in there. They might even get saved before the preacher gets up to preach. And the girl was reading the tract, and under God, she must have been 12, 13. I thought she might probably was a teenager, and she was reading through the tract, and she read about God's only Son. And she said, she stopped me and asked a question. She said, who is that? Who is that? Who is this talking about? She'd never been to church in her life. She'd never heard about God's only begotten Son,
Amen.
Jesus Christ. I don't know if she'd ever heard John 3:16. If she did, it went in one ear and out the other. Because the Bible says God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And there's folks like that today. There's folks within walking distance of this church. There's folks within several miles of this church that have never heard a clear presentation of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ought to be trying to bring them in. We ought to be trying to reach them. I tell you what, any outreach that we have, it's a blessing. It's a wonderful opportunity. Because you know what we're doing? Let me give you this and I'm done. Be serious, get real about salvation, about soul winning, about bus ministry, about just about reaching people. Any ministry we have, reaching people for Jesus Christ. It's kind of like this picture. The story is found in Matthew chapter 22 and also in Luke chapter 14. That there was a marriage and there was invitations given out. And those that were invited didn't come. And so what did he do? He said, okay, go and get the blind and the halt and go get them and bring them in. And he did. They went and they brought those in. They said, well, there's still room. And what did they say? Listen to this. Let me give it. I want to read it in Matthew and in Luke. Matthew 22 verse 9 says, go ye therefore. Does that sound familiar? That's exactly what he said. Go ye therefore. That's the same commission that he leaves the church with. He said, go ye therefore into the highways and as many as ye shall find, bring them to the marriage. You find them, bring them. Praise God. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. And in Luke it says, the Lord said, in verse 23, the Lord said to His servant, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them. Somebody say that word entails the meaning of pleading with them earnestly. Go compel them to come that my house may be full. Amen. We got benches empty here this morning. We got benches ain't nobody on. God's blessed us to have these benches here. God blessed us to have this good auditorium here. We ought to pray that God would fill it up and we ought to put our prayers into action. And be that outreach that God's, be serious about that outreach that God's told us about. I was just thinking about when we said go out into the highways and as many as you find, bring them to the marriage. I remember hearing a story about the brother that was running the bus route. And had they pulled up to where they had picked up several kids. They always did. This one corner, they always picked up several kids on this one corner. They all got in except for this one boy. This one boy just standing there. And everybody else had done got in. He said, son, come on, get in. We're going to be running late to get to service and everything. Go ahead, come on, get in. And so he did. The boy got in there and went to service, and I guess it was his first time being there. The bus driver found out, asked him about going to church, and then got into service, and it so happened that young boy got saved during the service. Amen. And every time somebody got saved, the pastor would bring him around, ask him if they got a testimony or something to say. And that young man brought him up there, and man, he was smiling. He got saved and everything. He said, son, you got anything to say? He said, yeah, can somebody take me home now? Said, do what? He said, can somebody take me home? I was just standing on the corner and the guy told me to get in the bus and I did. I don't know if his parents was all worried about it and everything, but you know what? Wasn't it a blessing he got saved? Amen. Go out and find them. Now, I don't encourage that. Don't just get everybody, without against their will, but you know what? God can change their will, can't he? Even if you did, praise God, they'd get in here and God could change their stubborn will. That's what he has to do when anybody gets saved, don't he? Right. Has to change their old stubborn will. Amen. That's what he has to do if we're going to get serious, too. Right. That's what he's going to do if we're going to get real. Amen. Is to break that old stubborn will. Sometimes things happen that stirs our emotions and we get fired up and pumped up and charged up. But, then after a while it dies back down. Yeah. And we need, another revival. We need another stir of God and our emotions. Well, our emotions is going to always be like that because that's the way God made them. But I tell you what, if we got something deep on the inside that there's a determination that the Holy Spirit's going to help us with, that we'll say yes to Him and just be faithful. Just be consistent. Somebody said God's not looking for a bunch of shooting stars. He's looking for shining stars that'll shine day in and day out. They're just there, praise God, to point folks to Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, ask Miss Davis if you would come around the song of invitation. And Lord knows your heart. And If God's touched your heart, if you don't know for sure that you're saved, I plead with you to come around this morning. And we'll take a King James Bible and we can show you how you can know for sure that you're saved. I believe the Bible teaches that we can know that we know that we're saved. We need to be serious about that. And if you're not serving Him like you should, and you maybe you ain't been praying about these outreaches in the church, I tell you what, you pray about it and you pray for it. God might just lead, and that might be what scares us sometimes. We pray about it, and we'll get a burden, and we'll start getting involved in it. But I tell you what, it'll be worth it all if we do. But you just pray about it, praise God. And if God allows you to get involved in something around the church, praise the Lord, that's a blessing. And maybe He's not, but everybody that is able to do something, they need your prayers. We all need your prayers. Prayer changes things. Everyone stand if you would. Obey God. God's touched your heart. Won't you obey Him?